The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, as a Liverpool supporter, you've got to be in a very, very good mood this morning.
It is all Liverpool today. Ian Rush was actually at the trophy lifting yesterday. I saw him there. He was one of the hallowed few who are allowed in the ground.
We're
all a little bit under the weather this morning because it went on until all hours of the night. But actually, I wanted to just say that, you know, we're into the 9 days now after Rosh Chodesh yesterday, and of course we're counting down to Tisha B'Av, which will be next week on Thursday. Do you think that we're a little bit kind of obsessed with counting things? It's like 10 people, it's like
it's
7 weeks.
True. It's
not only 7 weeks, but it's also 49 days as well. You've got to do both, you know, and it's the 9 days, and it's the 3 weeks, and it's 4 hours, and it's, I mean, how much counting and assessing can we do? I sometimes wonder if we get a little bit obsessed with all of this counting and time scales and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it is true. It is true. And as one of our listeners just said, this whole COVID thing feels like a competition. Like, what are our numbers looking like? And I think that's...
It is a little bit like that.
Yeah.
But just on another unrelated point, there's this new Israeli spy drama that's come out called Tehran. I don't know if you guys have heard about it at all. It's on Apple TV. It's focusing on this whole Iranian nuclear program story, one of these Israeli spy dramas. It's really taken Israel quite by storm, and apparently around the world. I'm not quite sure if it's reached your shores yet, but certainly something to look out for.
Good. That's good to know. All right. So Knesset yesterday voted to grant the government wide-ranging powers to manage the coronavirus without the need for Knesset approval. What are these new powers that the government now has?
I mean, we couldn't see this one coming,
no,
could we, right?
No,
this
hardly.
Is completely out of the blue. And it's weird to me how the Knesset would vote to make themselves dispensable. I would have thought that the Knesset would want, to some degree, to hang on to the decision-making powers which our democracy grants them. And yet, last night, the Knesset approved what's known as the big coronavirus law, which basically allows the government to declare a state of emergency and to implement all kinds of emergency regulations to deal with coronavirus. It was not a foregone conclusion. It was 48 members of Knesset voting in favor as opposed to 35 who voted against. There was a discussion about whether the state of emergency period that the government is entitled to declare should be 60 days or whether it should be limited to 30 days. In the end, 60 days was approved. The law has gone into power already now. It's valid until a year from now, June of 2021. So effectively, this allows the government to bypass these Knesset subcommittees that were established to deal with things. I'm not sure that it's such a good thing, particularly because we've been having this ongoing debate about whether our leadership is really looking after the best interests of the man in the street or whether they've got ulterior motives that they're trying to pursue. The other interesting related point is that Professor Ronny Gamzu, who up until now has been the chief executive officer of Ichilov Hospital, he's been appointed as the coronavirus project manager. I just hate that word. What's a coronavirus project manager?
That's terrible branding. I mean, who wants to put that on their CV? I mean, you don't want to put that on your LinkedIn profile, even.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, formerly head of the Director General of the Ministry of Health, formerly Chief Executive Officer of Ichilov Hospital, now Coronavirus Project Manager, people are calling it Coronavirus Tsar. But what's really interesting about this is that he wasn't really the person who was we thought would get the job. It was down to Professor Gabi Barabash, who was really the leading candidate, and at the last minute decided to withdraw his candidacy from the job. There are reports suggesting that he was frustrated that he was going to have to report through the Ministry of Health rather than directly to the Knesset, which I think is a fascinating little statement, because he thought that his line of reporting would be directly to the supreme democratic body rather than through a member of government. And he apparently, if one believes some of the rumors that are circulating outside of the public domain, he apparently gave up on the job because he was unhappy about that particular aspect. But in the meantime, of course, Israel has more than 30,000 active cases of coronavirus at the moment. This is really the highest that we've had since the whole beginning of the story. A lot of people now quite seriously ill, people on ventilation. So hospitals are extremely busy. This has really gone way beyond what the first wave brought us. Unfortunately, people dying, more than 400 people now have passed away as a result of coronavirus in Israel. The numbers are unfortunately still growing. I'm not even really sure that we've seen a plateau, even though the number of daily cases that are being diagnosed is around about 2,000 a day there or thereabouts. We are told that the numbers which are being diagnosed are more linked to the number of tests that are being done rather than any meaningful increase or decrease in the spread of the virus around Israel. But certainly a lot of tests being done. And some people are suggesting that we really are heading into a proper shutdown, and perhaps this new big coronavirus bill which the government has passed is the first step towards that.
Right. A bill that bans the controversial conversion therapy has passed a preliminary vote in the Knesset. Bizarre that this is still even a discussion. What does the bill allow for?
Well, I mean, this is really, really controversial, not only because one would say, why are we dealing with this now when we've got such huge fish that need to be fried, to coin a term, and that we're dealing with the so-called conversion therapy. And this has really drawn a line within the Knesset between the ultra-Orthodox parties and other parties in the Knesset. And the vote, interestingly, was not governed by coalition agreement. But this is all about psychologists who have been practicing conversion theory, particularly on people who have sexuality that they may feel that they are gay, and they come potentially from families and societies which do not support the notion of people coming out of the closet and being openly gay and feeling good about it. And therefore, in many of our ultra Orthodox communities, they are advising people who feel that they have a confusion about their sexuality to go through conversion therapy, to try to get psychologists to convince them that they can run so-called regular lives and have a heterosexual relationship as would be accepted, let's say, by the society from which they come. And of course, it was interesting that the bill that was presented was proposed by the Meretz leader Nitzan Horovitz to actually ban psychologists from using conversion therapy. So what they've decided to do is that psychologists who do practice this therapy will have their licenses taken away, they will be fined, and they can be sent to jail for repeat offenses if they continue to practice conversion therapy to try somehow to convince people who think that they and feel that they might be gay, to try to convince them through use of psychological therapy that they are not, or that they don't wish to be, or that they wish to run a certain lifestyle which is not consistent with that. This is now become outlawed within the psychologist community, and it was actually welcomed by the head of the chairman of the Israel Psychological Association, who really feels that this is exactly the right way to go about things. Of course, the ultra-Orthodox parties were horrified. There was shame and disgrace that was shouted by some of the Haredi MPs, members of Knesset, after the bill was passed. But this is really surprising in our day and age that this is the type of thing that our government has to deal with.
Interesting, because it's just a reflection of the dual nature of reality that that we inhabit. Because coming from a Haredi or an ultra-Orthodox perspective, maybe, you know, it's unfathomable that this type of bill is ever passed. But from another perspective, you know, when us looking at it, thinks it's horrific that it even needs to be. Fascinating.
Well, one of the members of Knesset said, "I don't understand why it's become outlawed to treat somebody who has some sort of uncertainty about his sexuality, to give him the relevant therapy that he needs in order to allow him to run what they would call a normal lifestyle, to be married, to have children, to do the things that, you know, why would you prevent somebody like that from getting the treatment that they need? That's the question that's being posed.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. Equally as crazy, and in fact, I swore to Zanati we are not talking about this. When I read it in the heads, Zanati, I did.
Yep.
When we were looking at international headlines a little bit earlier, I looked at this and I thought, no. Mentions have been made of a possible election in Israel later this year in November. Does everybody want to be Donald Trump?
So we're not going to talk about
it. No, we are. Of course we have to.
Well, I mean, there's nothing really to talk about except for the fact that, you know, one wonders why the Prime Minister at this stage of the game would even raise the possibility of another election right now. I mean, we've only just come through three rounds of the last election, which has been very, very painful. The only thing that I can think of is because for whatever reason, the government is not running to his satisfaction. I mean, at least we have a government. At least decisions are being made. We've appointed diplomats and ambassadors to posts that have been waiting for years because we've had no selection process and committees. We're now appointing judges, which has been a long-awaited thing because finally we have the relevant committees in place to actually run a government. And all of a sudden we're talking now about a new election. Well, the only thing I could, you know, possibly suggest is that for whatever reason, whereas the Prime Minister thought that he would be able to run a government and influence people in a certain direction, he's now realized that it's not quite as easy as he thought it would be, or perhaps the powers that he thought, the control mechanisms that he thought would be in place are not really in place as he thought they would be. It surprises me that he thought they would be in the first place, but there you go. And now I think there is a view that he feels he's stronger than he was before, although I think that with every day that passes under the current method of managing the coronavirus issue, I think he is weakening himself. Interestingly, according to the polls, because of course now the polls are going mad to see what the Knesset might look like if there was another election. Interestingly, it's Naftali Bennett has come out very, very strong after the recent events. He really has gained some popularity as opposed to all of the others who really seem to have suffered, particularly Benny Gantz, who I think for some people has been a disappointment in terms of the fact that he doesn't seem to have held Netanyahu to account in the way that many people thought he would and could. It doesn't seem to have transpired. So we'll park that for a moment. We'll just raise it and say, talk is in the air of an election. Let's hope that it doesn't happen anytime soon.
Absolutely right. We've only got 1 minute, but I do want to just quickly ask you about this. Israeli-made robots are being used more and more in Israeli hospitals, particularly in orthopedic surgery. How are these robots being used?
I mean, so this is a really fascinating story about how robotics has become part and parcel of Israeli medicine, and now there's even been talk about using robots to help doctors to analyze blood samples for coronavirus, for example. But I think within the whole area of orthopedics, it's really come to be used very, very frequently because orthopedics requires a certain level of precision, which is unlike other areas of medicine, particularly in orthopedic operations. And we talk about things like, you know, knee replacement surgeries and things like that, where precision is really, really key. There is this robot called Rosa. Rosa is short for robotic surgical assistant. And apparently Rosa has arrived only last year and actually was helped by a grant from the United States Office of American Schools and Hospitals Abroad. And apparently Rosa's already helped Hadassah Hospital to replace the knees of 20 patients. And we're told that Hadassah has something like 300 knee replacements annually, and that Rosa helps to guide to where the bone needs to be cut and exactly at the angle that it needs to be done, and without necessarily intrusion. In other words, it can all be done without necessarily making incisions into the skin and having to cut the patient. And so this is really where the robotic surgery is going. Rosa is not the only example of robots that are being used in Israeli hospitals and around the place. And of course, especially now when we need humans to be kept safe especially from being infected by corona, there is the view that we could use robots to do more and more of the coronavirus testing too.
Absolutely fascinating. It is 8:01. This is where we have to leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Shabbat shalom. And we will chat to you on Monday.